Brachas Perik Eilu Dvarim, right? Is that what we're holding? Arida Marav, Brachas Perik Eilu Dvarim. That's what I have. Where are you holding? Yeah?
What daf are you on?
I'm on Kuf Yud Gimel. And we had before, we saw about the different Kedushas and Malachim. Did we go through all of it or not? Or, Bemedesh V'Yikar Rabba, we said, Moshel Melech. We did do the Moshel, that I know for sure. And, Kaddish Kaddish and so on. Did we do that? I just don't remember. Ani Hashem Zubrach. Ratzolayma. Ki ha'odom beis ochloi ro'u sheyiskadesh v'loyochol b'zehumas yadayim. When a person eats, he should be mekadesh himself and not eat with dirty hands. Ki dovazei yachilosei chomus legamik ma'behema. Olefikoch tikno netilo rishayna. V'chein ma'y machrenim gankim shul kedushas le'yodom se'ovas min achilo. V'beshvul kachoy achilo shulay b'tiyuv legamik ma'behema. Okay, so let's explain. The first thing is the musig of washing and it being associated with Kedusha. So the point is like this. Whenever a person is engaged in some activity and has contact with the activity, then it becomes sort of part of him. It's part of the person that he is now into whatever it is, and it, to some degree, it's nidbak to the person. The person is affected by it, the person is tied to it, and the person is part and parcel of it. When some residue is left on my hands, so that means I'm still associated with it. Lamashal, if I sullied my hands with something, I dirtied my hands, I was outside and playing with the mud or whatever it is, then that still sticks to me, and it's still part of me, and it still associates with me. When I wash it, what I'm doing is removing its vestiges for me, and distancing myself from it. So a person who goes from being Isaac in dirt, he's playing with the mud, whatever it is, and he goes to eat something with the dirty hands. So the eating itself becomes the crudest of activities. It's very interesting. I've had this sense, and my wife echoed it once. You know, when you're in a hospital, you know, you're together, and that's itself, you're together with not from people and so on. In America today, it's more and more semi-private. But, you know, it's only in a ward. And one of the things that kind of always I found kind of strange was people would wake up in the morning and, you know, and immediately grab something to eat without having any type of little sudai. And no sense of sort of removing one aspect and moving on to something else. It's like in the filth, the person is still ready to eat. So the eating would become a very, very crude activity and a very, very chamistic activity, unless the person does netilas, unless the person does netilas yadayim. So the netilah before the food is to create some sort of distancing from all the filth that your hands have been involved with, to move on to eating. When a person finishes eating, the fact that the food is still on him, the fact that he still has food stuck to him, also gives him a certain dimension of chumrius. And that's something that you can't, and that's something also that Mayim Achronim serves to remove it. There's a very interesting anecdote, story. The Alter Nevardik was at some point in his life, when he got married, he was a businessman. He was a miller or a flour merchant. And then at some point, he dropped it and he put himself completely into Musa and Bitachon and so on. And he said that, the catalyst was, he once heard his wife tell a neighbor that it's so hard, lately it's very hard for her to wash out the flour from her husband's shirt sleeves. In other words, he's so into it that it's become absorbed in his shirts and so on. As he said, if you can't wash the flour out of my shirts, then I need to, then he dropped it instantly. That's very Navardic. But the point of it is that a person, that the sense of something becoming part of me, a person whose hands are filthy, a person who worked as a garage mechanic and he comes in with his filthy hands, he's still in the grease pit, and that's what the Netila gets rid of that. And after the food, the person is also associated with the food. He has some dveikus, the food gets out of the way. The Shemen Orev is sort of adds himself to the Shemen Orev, takes away any vestiges of any smell or whatever it is, and that sort of adds another layer of distancing oneself from the food. Obazet tira ki yesh l'odom miskadesh atzmoy b'achilasai.
So
when a person is mekadosh himself to any avoda, before davening we make those daim, before tashmish a person is mekadosh himself. The mekadosh means the person is not it's not a continuous activity with whatever he's been doing before physical stuff. It's a new ma'isa, it's a new asiya, it's a new hini muchanum zuman, and that's what the person is doing.
Ve'kach achile gam kein inyan chomri bevara yepoil ze shebektusha. Ve'mloki nasa poil ze chomri gashin kushu adam ma'ilo. O lekach yesh la odom biyoyse lekadesh atzme b'ma'isa sheboi noitam ha'chomri.
So that's why kadesh atzme ha'bemutach, or kadesh atzme specifically goes... specifically deals with things that a person is noited to chumri. So the concept of netila is something which is shayach beikar to things that are chumri. It's a hachana person makes. And in a certain sense, it's another way of understanding the precious that he talks about. What the precious does is that the other maisim we do have a certain, they distance themselves from things that were physical and so on. So a person's poresh means he disassociates from something else. When a person, the mashal, is noitel yadayim for suda, so the netilas yadayim sort of creates a gap between things that were going on before, and now he can undertake to eat the suda b'kedusha. The musig of netilas yadayim, breaking what's there before, so that it gives it its new metzias. In as much as a person is pirish from inyanim of olam hazeh, from inyanim that are very chomri, let's put it that way, so the other things now become a lot more ruchnistic things. Let's give an example about the Suda Pekka. When a person is sitting, let me give you like a little story. When I was a Boch in Yeshiva, there was a boy, you know, my age, kind of a year older maybe, with me in Yeshiva together. And this boy had something very, very, call it crude to himself. He was forever eating and had a girth that sort of matched it. You know, and he, in Shabbos, he'd sit at the table, and everything he would eat L'shem Shabbos Kodesh. You know, he would keep saying that, and it grated on my nerves. It's one thing, a person who's sort of a bit restrained in eating, and then Shabbos, he says, okay, now I'm eating a Suda L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, that sort of is a meaningful statement. That this person is, as they say, lopasak pume migrisa. He never stopped. He was always eating. He was always into things, and now particularly it happens to be a Suda L'Kavod Shabbos was kind of stretching it a bit. So precious in general means that the activities you do have in themselves the sense of dusha. Since there's this gap between the chulin and the things that he's doing here for Lashem Kedusha, that enhances it and makes it Kaddish. Okay, next one. V'perek Yediyas HaTumah. Omer Reb Chiya Ba'aba Omer Reb Yechna. Kol HaPerish Me'ishtei Somach Levesta Hav Libonim Schori. D'chsiv L'Havdu Ben HaTumah V'Natar. V'Somach Le'isha Gizazriya. Reb Shev Levi Omer Hav Libonim Schori M'ru'uyim Lohira. D'chsiv L'Havdu Lohiris. So you have a whole bunch of different inyanim where somebody who is Peish Mishta Samach Levesta is Zeichet. Then he says, Omer Ben Yamin Bar Yafis, Omer Blaza, Kol Mikadish Asim Vishas Tashmish, Hav Libonim Schorim. So you have a whole list of inyanim that give you an inyan of banim scharim, and it all centers around the lahav d'men atomet Torah and the samach l'ishkis azriya. Very kind of peculiar medrash. V'yesh lishol b'medrash, avagaz mechiru akra, mekom kom tzorach taima. So it has to have some sort of meaning to it. Even though we're, so to speak, learning it from a pasuk, but first of all, it's a stretch, the pasuk, one, and therefore to say that it's only because of the drasha, the pasuk, that we accept it to be so, it's kind of strange. And b'chol, whenever if we dash on something from a tail end of a pasuk, would that affect everything? Bal karchoch, there is an inyan and a tochen to it that has in itself a remez in the Torah. I want to give a little bit of a mosh, because it's important in understanding this for other drashas, a chazal, and so on. There's something that we would call Torah's remez. That the things that are not mefurish, but there are sort of clues, hints to it. Now, let's take an example in Mildalma. A police officer is trying to do figure out a whodunit of sorts. So there's going to be two types of approaches. The first approach is going to be who would have had a reason to do it. If somebody was killed, well, let's try to figure out which people might have wanted to kill him for whatever reason. Two, you look for clues that some sort of telltale signs that person left. If you were to have clues without any rhyme or reason, then you would really, really discount those clues heavily. Even Sherlock Holmes, when after taking out his magnifying glass and checking the carpet, decides that the one who killed them was somebody who came on a ship from India 2.5 weeks ago. The second half of it is, and he was collecting an old debt, he was coming after him because he betrayed the gang, or whatever. There has to be a story that makes sense, and some sort of remiss for it that will lead us on. There are certain things the Torah says mefurish. There are certain things that the Torah doesn't say mefurish. We learn it in a tzura of a remez, but the remez itself might be misinai, it might be seid Hashem nireyav, it might be nasmachta, but it also has to make sense mitzad the tochen in the context. That's a very important piece of the puzzle. In halacha, there are machlokas of different shittas in whether the joshes of Chazal are total Masar Misinai or totally dashing from the Psukim or a combination thereof. But however it might be, there are two Sfarim that come to mind, the Ksava Kabbalah and the Malbum, who made it their life's calling to show you how the Drashas Chazal actually fit into the Pasuk. But more than fitting into the Pasuk, they also have to make some sort of sense within the context. It's not like all of a sudden something is dropped and count every other letter and we'll come up with a remez about this or the other thing. There has to be some sort of seichel about it in the context of what we're talking about. That's a pashut thing. It's a mosav pshitas. So the understanding of Reb Tzadik, for instance, says that the agadata, the perek and the sugya wherein an agadata appears is very important and teaches us something, which makes a lot of sense. So
doesn't the Rambam things like Dhamma to a goddess that sometimes the goddess motzi from the pshat of the pasuk?
Correct. It's motzi on the pshat of the pasuk, but it still has to be in the context. In other words, there's a reason why within this context, this is where we want to find. Why is it that the Tilos Hedayim we're going to find in Mekadesh? Why is it the kedusha of some of the Vesta we're going to find in the pasuk of the Torah and Ishikis Azria? The drush is at the level of a remez, but the context within the parsha, what's the seichel behind it, so to speak? What's the inyan behind it? That still remains. The drush is not replacing it having meaning. The drush is just giving me the place where the Torah's meram is at it. But it's just like if I read something somebody wrote and I come up with all sorts of remuzim that the person has interspersed within the letter, I need two things to be able to tell something about the remuzim. One is a sharp eye that can discern the remuzim in the letter. Two, I need to have a context for the person. I need to know the person, understand the person, and understand why this might be a plausible interpretation of it. So he says, yes, I'm accepting the fact that Chazal told us this is the Makkah and this is the Makkah. That's fine. But I need to understand why would this be the parasha within which Chazal decided to put it. So he says, it's a very, very strange. Like it has something to do with the some of the vest of it was schorim or really raw. Our peers said, Kapirish mi ishte somach levesta, oisa prishav avdol bin double adaba, ki roi shi a hevdel bin atuma vatara. Befratum ki moizais shi veset ba isha, shematir dam shas tashmish. O lefika apoish mi ishte somach levesta, oisa hevdel, veshroa le havdel, o fika ham le bonim schar. So let's explain a second what he means with the prisha and so on. There's Taisus says in Yevamis, quite a famous Taisus. Taisus speaks about Nida and whether or not I mean, about Nida being an erva in Yibum. Tosfos says that Nida is not an erva. There's an issa that's on it. If a person treats, let's give an example in a different area, Shabbos. So there are two approaches for Shabbos. One approach for Shabbos is, I'm busy at the office, I'm doing work, it's what I want to do, it's what I like doing. When the Torah steps in, wags its finger, so to speak, and says, don't do any work, so I won't do any work, because Akash Baruch was mitzav. And over there, I usually go by the clock, on the clock, with on the second as that. There's another chishuv where I want to create a buffer zone around Shabbos. Shabbos is not an issa that's chal on my work. Rakesh Baruch Hu for 24 hours, blew the whistle for 24 hours, is dead silence until we have it again. It's rather a hemshuch of my avodah. Then it becomes then Shabbos becomes a whole new. I create like sort of a dividing line, means Shabbos l'chayil, and that dividing area is what sets aside Shabbos as a new bria. So it's not the pshat Shabbos is like a weekday with an issa melacha. I remember when we were in yeshiva, Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos was very, very, I don't know what the right word for it, under celebrated. So we Americans had our own minyan to daven differently. We ate the meals together at the yeshiva, and they just added a cup of grape juice in the morning so that we'd have a din of kiddush, and some matzahs during lunch for lunch so that we yoitza and like a mishnah, and basically that was it. I didn't have a sense of yontif. I had a sense that I'm not allowed to do melacha. But to say that I actually could define it as a yontif was didn't exist. It was not yontif. It was issa melacha. The issa melacha shaboy is the issa melacha shaboy is the pu'ula, but it doesn't. What you need in order to create that sense of a day apart, I need to make like a moat around the castle, and that happens with the Tosefer Shabbos, for instance. So Al Kapanim, the different in Yonim that are added to a mitzvah, some of them the tafkid is to set the mitzvah aside and to make it different, unique. And that's what he says over here. So he says, making being Pirish Samach Loinasa is an appropriate Hanhaga. It's the right Hanhaga. And Bemela. It's something where he sort of is making a bubble and saying it's not the pshat that my wife is mutter to me, but darn it, every so often the terrorist springs a surprise on me. The person says there's a tkufa of nidus, and now there's a tkufa of tara. The sum of lavesta means that I have a tkufa of tahara, and by creating that gap between Heta Gomer and Issa Gomer is helping me describe the Heta Gomer as a new entity. These are the days of Tahara, rather than she happens not to be Nida and not to be Issa. That's what I'm accomplishing by doing it. He says, Izecha de Banim Scharim, Kazecha Nimshal Betsura Bechomaka Shatsura Hu Shemavin Dava Dava. Kain Heaven Dava Dava Mitzarachayim Kachom Shatavar. So in this sense of Chayim and Tzura, the Zohar is Nimshal always to Tzura. He's the one who puts he's the one who defines and puts together the different Yanim that are negated to him. So here also, he says the Zohar is the one who imparts a tzura and everything else and defines things at his best. Therefore he says if we're to ask ourselves what distinguishes different elements in our world, the answer would be the tzur, not the chaymer, because the material of which it's made has many uses. It's like the clay that you make in different vessels out of. The clay is the same, the clay can tolerate many different tzuras on it. The tzura is that which creates the distinction between different things. You can't draw distinctions of chaymer, because at the end of the day, all chaymer is the same. Mitzad the chaymer, there's protoplasm and different brias that have different forms of it on different bodies engraved on it and made of it. But at the end of the day, it's all very fairly similar. The figure of Pesach Ishtoi, some verses have no, Meshul Avdol, the mice of Pesach Ishtoi, he's creating a Hevdol, the figure of Havlo Bonus Kar. So if we ask ourselves what distinguishes two items, if it's the same material, the answer will always be some sort of level of processing. The difference between A and B is A is a building made out of stones and B is a mausoleum made out of stones. The difference usually resides in a different nekuda. So he says, that's why you have scharim. I bought him Ruila Ra also means that his son is capable of mapping out clear boundaries and be mafkin between Tamei Torah and Mutter and Asa, similar to what he's done. The Kein Hevdel Bein Dol Dol Bein Tzad HaChoyme Yechum Shal Chodva Rak Hevdel Tzad HaTzura Vlad Shem Tzad HaTzura Yukar HaDova Mashu Ulefikach Shnei Anoshim Asur Nisha Isha Achas Mipnei Shekol Echod Nimshal Betzura Yushutof V'yachat
So the moral answers a very fascinating issue. Why is it that the Torah says no two men can marry one woman, but as many women as the shatan sets up, you can marry with? What's the difference? So he explains that in terms of the tzura shabai, it's like imagine you have a piece of clay, and you stamp on it a certain tzura, a cup, a goblet, a container, whatever it is, and now you want to stamp something else on it, another stamp on it. The second stamp will ruin the first stamp. So when you have inscription you've inscribed, to put another one on it will take away to the point of erasing it. On the other hand, if I have one stamp, I can stamp 1,000 different things, and it's not a problem. The answer is because no one piece of chaymer can be in a situation where there are different tzuras being chal on it, because then it's at a crossroads. What you can have though is many different many women can marry one man, because that's like many different pieces of clay being stamped by the same stamp. The same stamp can stamp many, many pieces. That's not a problem. The problem is the other way around. If the imposition of the imposition of two tzuris on one chaimer, inevitably the two tzuris will be canceling each other, and it's going to be not good. So the person who is being mishtal on this, and this is what he says. The difference between shtei nashim tishechad shtei anashim vishachas. Avagav shtei elu nashim elu hein mishtatim biyachad sheyesh lahem ish echad biyachad. Hare einam hevdol rak mitzara tzur ven hevdol mitzara chayma. So the hevdol is in the tzura, not the chayma. Umipnei kach hapoyesh me ish azom vesta alu ban zcharim. Again, yeah, b'chorim zcharim promise. Hazochu atzura hamal v'rezachor. Or make a watch as a best of us. I saw what some of the double gave Shuma the tomb of Tara Zechel, the Zaha Shanesha, Mazaha Tsura, Shatsuma Dada. If Shulay was saved, shall the bonum really raw, claimer. Shall the bonum mila sechel shall he raw, as a sechel marble be double a double. Which on her home gun came Loma cover of double and a das, and said the adas marble be double a double. On the fig homer cash who marble be double a double, and made a tomb in a tire for a hatul, yearly bonum bali sechel shall the section who are dealing with double a double, shall in a raw. So let's sort of explain it with some fine points. So basically what he's saying is the midah we're looking for is a midah of tzura. The midah of tzura expresses itself in person I'm hugging precious. When I'm coming here and talking about other hugs that are similar, so Havdola and Hayra would fit very much along with it. I want to ascribe something similar to a similar type of thing when he speaks about the Zechayim and Surah and so on. It is the tendency, when we think of a person who is particularly materialistic, it tends almost always to come with a lack of standing on principle. We don't expect that a person who's wallowing in Hanos is going to really stand on principle, because you lose that sharpness. When a person is constantly a nene, or nantan, does it say it? It takes away from the person's desire, ability to stand on principle, to look at that. The person's mind is somewhere in his world of taiva. It doesn't have the crisp sense of this is wrong, the other one, and so on. It's the nature of people that are chomri, that they're sort of it's not that they're chomri and they're chomri rather than sikhli. And the person's efforts of understanding and knowing is definitely deficient. So when he says here, and I want to add, when he says Ibn Zachar, the model is not telling us whether it's literal, not literal, but what it means, it is telling me something in terms of the type of child. He's a Zachadik child. He's a child who has in himself the tchunis, the fact that they'll stand on principle, they'll be makas, emes, and so on. Those are all part of this picture. It's doing things that are tzurdik require a person who is a tzurdik, a person himself, and therefore part a tonight of that is some step away from taivis and so on. When he speaks about banim zcharim, he could mean children
that accomplish, are idealistic, are willing to stand on principle. I don't know if we need to understand the Gemara in a very, very tit-for-tat way, and this is it, and so on. It could be understanding it betrayers, I guess more of a melitza, that it means children who will act zachavik. The children will be the people that will initiate, create, accomplish, and so on. That's something that might be also true. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference in our chiyuv of understanding a meaning like this. So basically, the core denominator of Precious is creating boundaries which accentuate and give mitzvah to each one. It's creating those boundaries. It's the same process. And this is a very enlightening piece of his, that shtei noshim ish echad versus shtei anoshim isha achas. Shtei anoshim isha achas is like having the same vessel stamped twice. One stamp cancels the other. They don't reinforce each other. Except for the rare possibility that together it's letter perfect. But b'dach kol it doesn't. So the reinforcing the gap between the good and the bad and the tamid and so on and so forth, that is exactly what it's about. It's the precious Shas Vesta means that he sees his wife as two distinct people. There's the Shas Tyre and the Shas Tumah. It's not the same person. And just now something the Meirah got in the way and it's a no go. It's on the way from Chloe. That's the mitzvah of the person, so on. The schar for all these things are the type of things that we would that go hand in hand with things that have that tiger of this. Whether it's das of Taira, whether it's bonim, that's the truth is bonus and bonim. The Welt says, Oyla Misha Benoisov Bonim Nekavis doesn't mean someone who has female children, but someone whose male children act like an akeva. No strength, just women and so on. There's something the akevadik about their inhabit. Okay, any questions? Good. So next week is a regular schedule for me. I don't see any.
Robert, just a quick question.
Yeah.
The two zchorim not able to marry one nekeva.
Yeah.
It's a very mufshat dika way. I mean, it's just very mufshat. They want to bring that down just a little bit. The two tzuras on the one.
The truth is, you can't, because I'll tell you why. I mean, you can go the evolutionary route and explain why when people were hunting buffaloes, it was more efficient for one man to bring on one buffalo and have a dozen wives skin the thing and cook it, versus, I don't know, I guess bring home two buffaloes and one wife cooking, maybe it's not so efficient. So you can do it that way. But if you don't do that, then the question is, what is wrong? What's the problem? If you have, which is something really, it's one of the stranger things about the movements to recognize gay marriage and stuff like that. Well, what's the problem with polygamy? It's horrible, it's horrible. Well, why? So not only would marriage be between one and one, it could be between one and a few, and in either direction. I know, as if your only rule is, we're saying like this, the only rule of right and wrong is things that are painful, harmful, versus things that are by consent, by free consent, and not painful or harmful. Tradition and what has been, we say, well, that's just sort of a remnant of the caveman's thinking, so it's quaint and we can do a doctorate on that, but that's it. So what is the problem? What's the problem of anything? Why are they against polygamy?
I don't think that they're against polygamy. I don't think they have any case against polygamy, because if you're telling me marriage is whatever people want, then open up the whole thing. So I can't, there's nothing inherently wrong. Yes, you can say that if a woman is cheating behind her husband, that's terrible. Loss of trust, that she doesn't get a kid so well. We can always go back to the evolution. But what happens if she has no kids? Is she not planning on having kids? What happens if it's by consent? Everybody's thrilled with the idea. It's free for all. What's the problem? Consent and consent and consent. Everybody's consenting. So where's the issue? There's no way, unless you understand it. Arias seemed to us intuitive. It's not. So take away the hurtful arias. But anything else, what's the problem? So I would be at a loss to explain it. And I need, so what I need to say is there's a certain picture. This marriage for us is an extraordinarily significant shlemus of the bria. It's an extraordinary significant event in terms of the rutzen of the bria. Just like we're born without a bris, and we need to provide a bris for shlemus adam. We need to provide a woman for shlemus adam. That shlemus, like Hashem Baruch Hu visions, is possible through one man with a few women. It's not possible for one woman with a few men. It's just like the whole bria works like that. Parents can have many children, but children have only one set of parents. God can have many creations, but creation can't have many gods. There's a definite mahalach there, where that which is tzura needs to be one, and if two tzuras on something, it's just like in you have, you know, musical beats interfere with each other. Many things like that interfere. Anything that works in pulses interferes with each other, and then you get something tuned down. Masha'ein came that if the active piece is only one, then it's stamping everything that's molded its image, and that's fine. But you're right. To try to explain it in street language is very difficult, because it doesn't make any sense, and neither does most of the rice make sense. There was once upon a time when it made sense, and everybody was on the same page, and it was kind of understood. So then we could appeal to common reason, intuition, whatever you'd like to call it. But it's not true anymore. Okay?
Shukwach.
Okay, good Shabbos. Enjoy the snow. And remember, you can only make one snowman out of each block of snow. If two different sets of kids try to do two different tzuras, they will end up with mush. But one set of kids can take much snow and make many snowmen out of it. So here we have a perfectly apropos marshal for it. Okay.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Take care.
Good Shabbos.